Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
I want you to know that Isaiah knew from the bottom of his bones that a leader that would bring peace must have divine help to form the characteristics that would be necessary to achieve peace. This is not something a man can do, not without divine assistance. You cannot bring peace without divine help. Today, then, as now, peace does not just come. If it were so, then peace would be all among us at all times. It is only the product of preparation, prayer, and patience. Only then can performance begin to achieve the peace that we desire. It is leadership that cherishes peace and looks beyond itself to provide divine power so that peace may be achieved. The figure that stands out to Isaiah is not an ideal. It's not something hoped for. It is the Messiah, something looked for. We have that Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the leader sent from God to bring peace upon the earth. Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Isaiah and we ask you to embed them deep within our hearts, that we should not do anything that is not directed by you, that you should have final evidence of our love for you by our obedience for doing for you. May we in all things submit to you. Father, as I prepared this message, you know that I was troubled in my heart, that I had to forgive, that I too am just a man in need of divine help. And so, Father, we pray for that help today. We pray that you and you alone will be glorified for what is spoken here, will be your words. Father, cast out my words, they are nothing. But Father, those things that you would have us hear, may they sink deep within us and take root there and show themselves in our lives, in our dealings, in our relationships with others. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may stand or sit for the reading of the Word. The Word today will come from Isaiah, from the 11th chapter, verse 1 through 10. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The lion shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall prey by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the earth. And in that day there shall be the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. You know, in these words, Isaiah spoke to us. He still speaks to us today. First, the prophet declares that the leader of peace shall have wisdom and possess understanding. Wisdom is loosely defined as a divine trait. You cannot have true wisdom without God's intervention. You can't have it. I hear talking heads all the time, talking and talking and talking as though their words could change the events of the day. But only God can change the events. Understanding is basically possessing knowledge with good sense. In short, it doesn't take a genius to be a leader of peace. We've seen that in our own country. We've seen that in our own pulpits. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand and to have wisdom. They both are gifts of God, lest any man should boast. The assessment that we find here of the Messiah, that he should have wisdom and understanding coming from God. And that second, a leader of peace must give good counsel from God. Only doing those things he sees the Father do, only saying those things that he hears the Father say, in addition to the power to make peace happen. You know, it does take peace. Peace is something we yearn for, but it takes power to achieve peace. Jesus has the power. The disciples said, even the winds and waves obey him. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and Jesus was right there with him. It says in John that nothing was made that was not made by him. He has the power, the universal power, to touch our lives and recreate in us a new creature. He has the power to achieve peace. By this, Isaiah is saying it's not enough simply to tip your hat to God. It's not enough just to be a member of a church. It's not enough to say you're a Christian. You know that you are a Christian by what you do. And God does too. God knows his children. God looks at his children, and he sees his children doing the things that he has commanded. We see many leaders in our day, like Isaiah's song, that give false counsel to the people who desire truth. That would lead to peace. He had seen promising kings buckle under the pressure and fail to stand firm when peace was at hand to make peace permanent. This is no ancient story. It's as recent as the most recent sunshine. We have seen the chaos in our political arenas. We have experienced it in our economic settings. We have seen this in family and the family life, the struggles come, even in our personal lives. It's much easier to stand for what is momentarily popular than to stand against the tide that destroys real and lasting peace. It's much easier to say to the folks the things you want to hear. It's much harder to say the things you need to hear. That is what God has called us to do. Only the Messiah, the one who is sent by God, can tell the truth in all circumstances and exert personal might that is unbending in its conviction to save the whole world. Third, the Messiah must possess a knowledge of God and His revealed truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." By this, Isaiah was saying, it's not good enough simply to say that you're with God and God's ways and God's plans and God's ideas for your life. You have to live them. You have to submit yourself to them. One who comes in His name must have an intimate knowledge, a knowledge that comes from constant communion with God. Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." Jesus has a close relationship with His Father. My wife and I have known each other for 48, almost 49 years. Together, we have seen much of the world, and much of the world change. We have traveled together from Stratford to Hollywood, from Canada to California, to Houston, Dallas, but through sickness and in health, from poverty and riches beyond measure, we have stayed together because we love one another. God has granted us 3 children. They are all married well. 4 grandchildren, 2 boys and 2 girls. It has not always been a bed of roses. My wife would say amen to that. But she knows that the struggles of our life have brought us together. She knows my thoughts, often completes my sentences. As a matter of fact, the sermon I am looking at was typed by her. She changes things from time to time. I know her thoughts, and often I know what she's about to say before she says it, to which I reply, "Yes, dear." We love one another. I have knowledge of her and she of me. I think that is the kind of relationship Isaiah is speaking about with greater intensity when he declares that the Messiah must have knowledge of God. Such a person would have a true knowledge of peace and love because God is love. Jesus said, "My peace I give you." He will bend his power to implement God's kind of peace to the world. Why would he do this? You might ask, why should he do this? Because he possesses all things. Why does he have to bend his will? Because he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He bends the power. He possesses a wholesome fear of God. Now, that word fear is better translated righteousness or relationship or even reverence. He loves God and he has reverence for him. Isaiah's use of the word reverence in that it encourages actions in God's name and on God's behalf. Did Jesus come during Isaiah's time? No. No. How then did Isaiah know so much? The Holy Spirit told him. Jesus set the standards to be followed by each of us. All those who would be peacemakers. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God." You can all be angry. You can all have criticisms. But you have to submit that criticism and that anger to God. We need to have a compelling reverence for God's plan. The plan was that Jesus came from heaven to earth to save us. Today, we see sin as a whitewashed term, sometimes with unabashed blindness, unsympathetic tolerance. We promote the notion that the word sin is no longer politically correct. The word sin is ugly. Yes, I said it. The word sin is ugly. It's ugly in the sight of God. It's unacceptable to God. It is a type of disobedience to God. It is against every law of God. It is resistance to God's reign in your life. And Jesus' reason for coming has allowed each of us to be forgiven. Sin deteriorates relationships. It undermines health. It dulls the mind. It misdirects energies. It destroys communities and ruins character. I once heard a man who said that his wish, his desire, was for a time when his children would no longer be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Isaiah saw that time after Jesus has come, after the Messiah has come. It should be in every heart. The text by Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, means that the Prince of Peace will use to bring the blessing into our lives of peace. Jesus came into our chaos to dispel the destruction and bring peace. The question for each of us is, will we receive His sacrifice? Will we accept Him as our Savior and Lord? Will we put aside our pleasant lives and pick up our crosses and follow Him? Will we recognize that sin is ugly to God and tell Him that we are guilty and call upon His Son, Jesus, to have mercy on us and save us from our sin? An outline has been laid by the founder of our faith, who is Jesus Christ Himself, when He said, "Come unto Me, all you are weary, I will give you rest." He said so many things, the disciples said, that all the books and all the world could not contain them. But every word He spoke was a word filled with life. And it has life in it. The life we yearn for. The peace we yearn for is in Him. He laid it all in front of us. He said, "Whosoever calls in My name shall be saved."
Amen.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.